lot deeper than we've gone. It's a lot deeper, and we're going to go deeper in our prayer right now. God has given us prophetic words. We have seen the miraculous. We have seen healing. We've seen God direct, redirect. We've seen God call people and see their calling manifest. You heard the voice of God. You obeyed. God has blessed you. But it's deeper. It's an authority that God has given you and me, the church, to defeat every word, every name, and every action of the enemy. And today, some of you are desirous of a miracle. You have been praying about things, and what's happened is God has drawn you towards Him. It's become personal. Not personal about what you needed, but personal about your relationship with who God is in your life. You've made those steps. You've sacrificed. You've become obedient. You maybe at times have fallen, but you picked yourself up. The Bible tells us a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets back up. We stop thinking about we're a victim. We stop thinking about that, you know, everything is against me and the reason why this is happening is because. We start saying, you know what, God, I'm your child. I live in a covenant with you. You love me, and I have chosen to love you. And because of that, I walk in that covenant blessing. So we're going to pray. And Jack, can you come on back up? And you don't need to grab the microphone, but I just want to agree with my brother because this is one of the finest teachers you'll ever know in our community. He is an educator, but he's called of God to pastor. And he has moved in obedience with God. And through the years, I've watched God just use him mightily in so many different avenues that I could never reach. But Jack, there's something deeper that we're going to pray about with our students. And but there's something deeper we're going to pray about, your miracle. Are you ready? Father, in Jesus' name, we have grasped the directive of the Holy Spirit today. We have seen the anointing flow. We have experienced your presence as you are in our midst. And in Jesus' name, we come against sickness and disease. We come against turmoil that has happened because of our past. But because we have confessed you as Lord and Savior, our past has no longer a hold upon our future. And we have a destiny that is called out by you. And we proclaim in Jesus' name that that miracle, that healing, that recovery, that marriage, that relationship, that job, that business will turn and become a shining light of the work of God in our lives. We proclaim now in Jesus' name that all the students, our children, are blessed of God. They are blessed of God not only because of their action, but because of our action as those that have been called by God to mentor them into the areas of their life. And now, because we understand scripturally that when God rises up and miracles take place, there is an opposite that comes in the spirit realm by the enemy, by Satan himself. And in Jesus' name, we take a hold of that truth. And Satan, we bind you up now in Jesus' name. We say no longer will we acquiesce to fear, to wrong statements, to names that are not our names, because Satan, God has given us a name and he's called us by name, and we walk in obedience to what God has said, and we experience what God has planned for us in our destiny. And now, in the government of the state of California, that is gathering soon to make a decision to release students to be able to be basically kidnapped out of places in Jesus' name, we come against that and we say, in Jesus' name, we bind that up. That will not happen in the state of California and the United States of America. Thank you, Lord, for the authority that we have as leaders, as parents, as ministers of the gospel. And we say, in Jesus' name, a protection over our children greater than there's ever been before, that we will see a canopy of protection over our children, over our grandchildren, whether they live under our roof or live under another roof or on the other side of the country, in Jesus' name, that canopy will be spread across the educational department in our nation. And we proclaim that in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone give an applause. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. And while you're seated, just smile at somebody. Praise the Lord. By the way, if you didn't know, it's Pastor Dan's birthday tomorrow. He's going to be 50 years old. He didn't deny that, did he? Well, we're going to begin a new series, and what a joy it is to be with you. I really have an honor and a privilege to be able to spend time with you, especially teaching the Word of God, but during the week being with families at regarding funerals, regarding weddings, different things that we do together as a church family. Thank you just all these years for allowing me to be a part of your life. My wife and I, Terry, she is in Texas, and she'll be back this week. I want to talk in this series three things that we must know as we journey in our life on earth. In the last couple years, I have inundated you with these truths. And what I've done is I've put these three truths together. And for the next 3 weeks, usually we go 5 or 6 weeks, I'm going to do a short series on basically how do we know. And to really solidify the things that you are experiencing as daughters and sons of the Lord, as children of God. Now, the background is that God designed us for a specific purpose on earth. In life on this earth, we have, as we named our youth group, identity, but we have identity and purpose. Basically, you're valuable. You are valuable to God, you're valuable to me, and valuable to one another. And I want you to experience that in this series. We're going to laugh a little bit because we're going to, at the beginning introduction, we're going to talk about names. How many of you know that we've all been called names that we didn't like? Yeah, okay. And I grew up and there was a lot of names that I didn't like. But there's specifically, my parents gave me a name, Gary Allen Klaus. And the reality of that is, I believe, according to the Word of God, is whether they were serving God or not, that God has ordained a purpose in my life and through names that I'm going to show you that are very important, that God proclaims in name your value and your purpose on earth. My value and purpose on earth doesn't come from man. It comes from God. Same with you. So follow me as I show you this. I'm going to read you a couple scriptures. In eternity, God has told us that he's going to give us a new name. And that new name is going to be basically what we do for eternity, our identity and what we do for eternity. In Revelation 2:1, it says, he who has an ear, anybody have an ear? Y'all have two of them, you know why? Because sometimes one ear doesn't work. Those that are married, you know. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. He that professes Jesus Christ as Lord and is walking in the Christian walk will go to heaven. And I will give him a white stone, on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Revelation 3:1 says this, and to the angel of the church in Sardi write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. All right, so we're talking about names. In biblical times, we see people like Abram and Sarai. God changed their name to Abraham and to Sarah. And Sarai meant contentious woman, and Sarah means beautiful princess. So it is a reality, is that when God calls you, and he's called us all, and he's named you, and he's named us all, that he changes us from being born in sin and to be born in victory, being born again. And so there's a transformation that happens by the power of the proclamation. And some of you are listening to this, and you're saying, oh, okay, you know, well, let me show you something here. The first man, Adam, what did his name mean? We have Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, and many more. So let me just quickly show it to you, and I believe we'll have it on the screen. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel, it means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means preaching. Methuselah, his death shall bring. Lamech, the despairing. Noah, rest. So if you put this all together, what does it say? Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down preaching that his death shall bring their despairing rest. All throughout the Bible, you see the importance of names. That's why when we dedicate children, my wife will come up and will show you the names and the meanings, because God has set something so wonderful for each person that is born in this earth. The names of the Bible are trying to get a message across. And the message is that your life is so valuable. And that is the message from God. But how do I know? And so I'm going to show you in this series the three things that we should know. So it's important to know why we believe God exists. So turn your Bibles to Psalm 14 and just keep your finger there. It'll probably get a little numb because it's going to be a while before we get there. But we must grasp in our lives that Christianity is the correct world view. Do you remember me speaking on this quite a while ago? Christianity is the correct worldview. And I'm using the term correct purposely. So today, let's begin this new series that answers the question, how do I know there is a God? How do I know there is a God and to be able to live in that truth in a fallen world? The things that we face in our world. I believe, again, that we are in the beginning stage of end times. And there have been words given to me, prophetic words, that have supplied and supported the major prophetic words that we've received from Dr. Mila for our church. Now, understand this. When you hear what I just said, it's the Word of God and leading of the Holy Spirit that we base our life on. Okay, so I am not a person that hears a prophetic word and then my whole life changes and I live my life according to that, what was said by someone. That is a part of God speaking, and he is speaking to all of us. So when we talk about prophetic words, when we talk about words of knowledge, words of wisdom, it is an application or support of the wholeness of being a Christian. What is the wholeness of being a Christian? You've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. The Word of God, which we're going to find out in this series, is truth, that you believe it is truth. And so you begin walking with that, and then the Holy Spirit will guide you and speak. He is speaking. He speaks by his, I'm not going to get into that much because we're going to teach on that, but he speaks audibly. He speaks to your heart. He speaks to your mind. He speaks through the Word of God. And that is basically the most important. But we have to understand is that God is speaking and we're in the beginning of the end times, the beginning stage where the Holy Spirit will pour out on all flesh. And what we're going to experience in our, as we prayed today, in our students, in our children, we're going to see it. We're seeing it now. Remember the 12 young people that were baptized a couple of weeks ago? And we see that God is moving in our children and our youth. And it's not just moving that they have fun in church. It's moving that God is revealing himself to our children. And it is. This is what God said in the beginning of end times. That's what's going to take place. So with all the fear-mongering that is out there, I want you to understand, God's got this thing with our children. God's got this thing with the school system. There is a spiritual battle, but I want to tell you, Jesus already won the battle. Amen? Many don't realize that there is an outpouring, and during your prayers or your thoughts of what's going on in the next few years, always bathe it with the understanding there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You got to understand, I am literally experiencing God speaking. It is, you ask anyone, God is speaking to me like crazy. I'm writing. My hand hurts. I've been writing because I do it old school. Because I've been writing so much what God is saying. And he's not just speaking to me, he's speaking to you. And so bottom line, I'll just say it again, how God is speaking and speaking to you also. You might be concerned about next year or school and college if you're a young person or, you know, your children and school, all that. I want to tell you, God is speaking. Begin to listen and write it down. Write it down or get your phone. Write it down, because there are some amazing things that are going on right now. I already have messages for this house and for 5 conferences I'm going to be doing through February of next year. And I'm saying that to tell you because God knows all things, and he's speaking. He's showing you. He's revealing things to you. Today, now, while I'm speaking, he's revealing things to you. Not the pizza you're going to have for lunch, but he's revealing things that you've been asking him about. Listen. Be intent about that. Allow the Holy Spirit to really, really dig deep with you. So my three messages in this series will be, how do I know there is a God? How do I know the Bible is true? And how do I know Jesus is the only way? So what I want to emphasize in this series again is, how do I know? And I'm simplifying it. I can, as we do, dig deep in Scripture, but you're going to see this series is very simple, because if we grasp these three, all the stuff that we will see and experience, most of it from God, we're going to be able to see the truth and have a correct world view of life. So again, I'm not trying to, if you're watching online, I'm not trying to shove anything down your throat. What I'm trying to do is to let you see the love of God. I'm not trying to push an organization or a religion on you, but in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the enemy has a counter to it, and there will always be that. When God is speaking, there will always be something in your mind or your soul that will say something that's a little bit different. But hear and know the voice of God. So how do I know there is a God? How do I know the Bible is true? And how do I know that Jesus is the only way? Is I'm going to show it to you. My first point is to really let you grasp this. There is a correct world view. And the correct view is Christianity. There is no worldview in what I know that meets the criteria of being a worldview except Christianity. And I'm going to show you this. The criteria must answer, and Christianity does, must answer our origin, our meaning, our morality, and our destiny. I'll say that again. Our origin, our meaning, our morality, and our destiny. A worldview that is going to fulfill you as a person must address those four. And so let's look at the four and just quickly identify them. Origin, if you're going to have a worldview that you can live with, that fulfills you, you would like to know how you got here. The meaning, why am I here? Every person has in themselves the question, why am I here? And Christianity provides that, gives you purpose, that God ordained. He has given you a name. When we go into eternity, we'll receive a new name. Morality. How do I define good and evil? We'll discuss that. We've talked about this before. But I want to dig deeper, and I want you to recognize, and putting it all together, that we really get a view of life that's real, that's reality, and not just all these suppositions that we hear on the news and when we read books and all kinds of things. How do I define good and evil? Because every person defines good and evil, but how do you do that? See, in today's day, we find, everyone has a right to define good and evil the way they want to. Really? Really? And that is the brainwashing of morality in our lives, and that's why we experience the demonic influence and the breaking of families and just all kinds of things that are going on in our world. Here's the last, destiny. What happens to me after death? See, destiny is that you just live, not just you live a good life. Destiny is eternity. We're eternal beings. Eternal beings. I wish I had time to show you in depth, But we're going to talk, just touch on Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. Contains many things, but they don't answer all of these questions. So it's extremely important you get a correct worldview. And I'm proclaiming to you, as your pastor, everybody watching online, it's Christianity. You see, Christianity is the answer, but you have people who are Christians that don't know what Christianity really believes. So they make mistakes. We need to understand what is Christianity and how do you know there's a God? Because a lot of people question, is there really a God? The buzzword on this for the last few years is what you hear, subjective morality. The definition of subjective morality is each person decides what's right for him or her. Okay, well, that sounds nice. That sounds good. But that is subjective morality, and subjective morality is what has brought in the chaos we have today. Many Christians even say, well, people should be able to decide what's right for them. Really? So let me explain that. What that shows me, many Christians haven't thought this through. As a pastor, I've had people literally say to me, Pastor, why are you so afraid of subjective morality? Why are you so afraid? It was hard for them to say it. Why are you so afraid of subjective morality? And the reality is this. I have a question for them. I tell them, first of all, I'm not afraid of it. But again, I've used this illustration many times, conferences even here. Do you lock your doors at night? My answer is, why? Why do you lock your doors? If there's subjective morality and that everybody, whatever is good is good, whatever is bad is bad, you know, whatever they think. The answer tells us people who believe in subjective morality are the ones afraid of it. Because if morality is subjective, then someone might decide that it's okay for them to break in your house, walk in your front door that's unlocked, and murder you. You say, Pastor, that's way extreme. Is it? What's happening today? Subjective morality. Because if morality is subjective, then they just might think, it's okay, take a knife and put it through your chest. You can't have subjective morality because murder is wrong. And there are some that don't think murder is wrong. So it doesn't matter who you are, you have to have objective morality, not subjective. There are some things that are right and some things that are absolutely wrong. Let me give you some examples. Hitler didn't believe murder was wrong. Look at Auschwitz, Chelmno, Belzec, Sobibor, Treblinka, called killing centers, or better known as the final solution. To him, subjectively, it was okay to destroy all the Jews. In Cambodia, some of our team here went to Cambodia. There were 1,386,734 men, women, and children murdered, and it's called the killing fields, led by Pol Pot, who thought it was right to do, destroy the Vietnamese, the Thai, the Chinese, Cambodians, Christians, and Buddhist monks. And during his tenure, over 2 million people died of starvation. I've seen the killing fields. I've seen the things they've erected that have thousands and thousands of skulls. I've seen the burial where as big as this room, that they would dig a big hole and just throw all the bodies in there. I saw the pictures where the soldiers with their rifles and bayonet would throw babies up in the air and then stick them. They had no problem doing that because subjective morality. They had another cause, so it was right. My opinion, don't even think that one person can decide what's right or wrong. What I saw in Cambodia was wrong. What I saw in many nations that I've traveled to, what I see in America is wrong, based on objective. There's an absolute, so we really need to, as a person, address what our worldview is. And by these four words and definitions I gave you, another worldview is called evolution. Let me talk about evolution. All this is taught in our school system. All this is taught. Books are written. Evolution actually addresses none of the four words and their definitions. It doesn't address how we got here. It doesn't address even why we are here. In essence, it says we are time, matter, and chance. So in other words, what the enemy wants you to think, especially young people, you're just matter and there's a chance you might survive. I'm telling you, God, the creator of the universe, has created you and he has a plan for your life, and all you need to do is to allow him to be your Lord and walk in obedience and you will find your destiny eternally. So let's continue with this. But if you're just time, matter, and chance, if you're just, I love science, if you're just metaphysical and don't have a soul, why do you react to tragedy? You react because you have a soul. Because you're a person. And when you see people who are killed and hurt, you react. You have a heart. You have a soul. Evolution doesn't address that at all. It doesn't address why we are here, our origin. It doesn't address the meaning of life, why we are here. It doesn't address morality. And it does not absolutely address destiny. You just die and nothing happens. Evolution. Now, evolution started, watch this, with Charles Darwin in 1859. It was called the Origin of Species. Many people believe it, and they didn't even read the book because Darwin put two chapters in his book doubting his theory. He brought out his theory, but he put two chapters doubting his theory. And he said in the conclusion of that, if evidence doesn't come forth in the scientific world in a reasonable amount of time, he said his theory is disproved, and it's been 166 years. There is no evidence that one species has ever mutated to another species. That's never happened. So all you scientists are thinking, but Pastor, the finch population on the Galapagos Island, easy for me to say, have different beaks and different appetites. My question, where did the first cell come from? What I'm saying, there is a correct worldview that will satisfy your heart and your soul. It is the truths in Christianity. I'm going to talk about atheism and agnosticism for a moment. An atheist says there is no God. I'll explain that in a moment. So here's point B. There is no atheist. It is scientifically impossible to be an atheist. The definitions of the word says there is no God. But you know what they did? They changed the definition. An atheist is a person who believes there is no God. It was a person who says there is no God. But now they put believes. They changed the definition because they knew it was impossible that there is no God because they had not total knowledge. They don't have total proof. Okay, but here's their question. And I've had times where I've sat in meetings with atheists and agnostics and discussed biblical truth. So stay with me here. They changed the definition because they knew it was impossible or foolish to say there is no God. In order to say there is something that doesn't exist, you will have to have all knowledge. No person has all knowledge. Think about it. How much does the smartest person in the world know? They have said the smartest person in the world has less than 1% of all knowledge. Think about what all is. All mathematics, all history of every culture that has ever existed. All history of every country, state, and city. How about how much does the smartest person know of all language? Can he or she speak every language in the world fluently and dissect every sentence? Every consonant, noun, and conjugate every verb in every language? Anybody here? Because I just lost some of you. Because you don't know what the word conjugate means. You might think my wife and I waited till we got married to conjugate. It's not what it means. How much knowledge does every person in the world have? They stopped doing this, but in 1990, the person who had the highest IQ had between 190 and 210, they suggested. His name was Christopher Langen. He said, you can prove the existence of God, the soul, and the afterlife using mathematics. He was a believer. So let's pretend the smartest person in the world has 2% of all knowledge, and that person is you. Is it possible the 98% you don't have, is it possible something exists that you don't know about? Of course it's possible. So follow me. Psalm 14, you can take your finger out of there. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the exact definition of an atheist. The word foolish or fool. It is foolish to say that something does not exist when you don't know everything. You could say, I don't know if there is a God, and that would be agnostic. Let's just quickly here. Stay with me. Gnostic comes from the Greek word gnostikos. And gnostikos means knowledge. Gnosis is the verb, means to know. When you put A-G in front of it, it means not. An agnostic is a person that does not know. It's not a religion. They don't know. So let me tell you, my last point, there is a God. And I'm going to simplify it to you. Everyone watching, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is a day for you to do this. It is personal. Father God has given you a name. He's given you a purpose. So remember when I told you in the beginning is the question, how do I know? How do I know there is a God? With the reasoning I gave you in this explanation, you can turn this around and say to me, well, since I don't know, have all knowledge, and I can't say definitely that there is a God, you don't have all knowledge either, Pastor. So how do you definitely say there is a God? Listen very closely. It's really simple. If you came to me and said, there is no Pastor Dan, there is no Pastor Angel, there is no Michelle Chaskin, there is no Richard Martinez. I can go on and name so many of you. There's not a person that has a name like that. My question to you, have you met everybody in the world? How do you know there's no Pastor Dan, Richard, Michelle, Pastor Angel? I can say this. You can't tell me that there is no Pastor Dan, Richard, Michelle, Pastor Angel, unless you've known everybody in the world. Now, very simple, right? Everyone agree with that? Okay, so let's just dig a little bit deeper, but we're going to keep it simple. But I can tell you there is a Pastor Dan, a Pastor Angel, Michelle, and Richard. You're going to like this. Well, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, how can you definitely say that? My answer to you is, I don't have all knowledge. I haven't met everybody in the world. But I have personally met them. Grasp the simplicity of it. I have personally met them. I know who they are. I have talked with them. I've walked with them. I've sat with them. It's personal. I can tell you that there is a God because I met him. It's personal. I've walked with him. I've talked with him. And you know, Scripture says this. He's my friend. He's my friend. See, I grew up in church and I heard about God. Many didn't have that answer. Why am I here? Many, even believers, have no answer to what happens to me after I die. Because many literally have no world view based on Christianity. But if you do, it will fulfill all four. And if you don't, regarding personal life with God, it won't fulfill all four because you don't know. But when you meet him, you will know. This is so simple, but it's so deep in the knowledge of God. God created you, but you know, he didn't create you as a robot. He created you with a mind to think. He created you with a heart to feel and with a will so you can choose. He won't force you to meet him and walk with him because he knows true love has a choice. I choose to follow Jesus. How about you? all of us at some time have chosen to be the prodigal, to go the other way. Remember last series? But God sent his son, Jesus, to die an agonizing, horrible, torturous death on a cross. He did that to pay for all your sins. So if we believe in Jesus, watch this, and submit all of our wills to him, the Bible says we can be saved. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We can be forgiven of all our sins. Then we spend eternity, destiny with God. So many people, I mean, even in politics, so many people, because I'm a pastor, I go places, I go work out, and there's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions about a lot of stuff. And they come to me because I'm a pastor. Pastor, what do you think? And, you know, it's just amazing to me. I bring people back. What's your worldview? What do you mean? And I find that they're very subjective in their thoughts, where they should be objective. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. That's objective. That's a choice that I choose, that he guides me. He shows me what's right and what's wrong. He calls me. He's the one that sets things in line. He's the one that saves me. He's the one that heals me. It's Jesus. And I'm the one that just follows. So I get him to there, and it's amazing how many people don't have an answer. I listen to people all the time. I listen, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I said, hey, I got to work out. Let me just, you know. And then I turn them around about this, objective morality. And that's what the enemy wants you to do, is to get to a reality where you're the one that makes a decision what's right or what's wrong. What does the Word of God say? We're going to talk about that next week. What's the Word of God say? What is God's mind? The Bible says that we could get the mind of Christ. And it's not that we're choosing, I'm right, you're wrong. It's the point of the creator of the universe. I'll say it this way. He right. I'll say it again. He right. Okay? He is right. And we have to get to the place of recognizing who we are in Christ. Standing in that objective understanding of reality that Jesus Christ is Lord of everything. So let me close with this. Let's go ahead and stand. Let me say this again. That's why we feel when there's a tragedy, because we have a soul. Your soul will live past your body. But the question for all of us is this. Are we going to live in heaven with God or hell without God? You see, God provided the way. The only problem is that God gave you and I a choice. And in Joshua 24, verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. And that determines your destiny. Can we just close our eyes and just bow our hearts to the Lord? Hallelujah. Many watching online, please do the same thing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Relationship, if there is a God, is because personal. He reveals himself to you and me. And we walk in that. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you've heard the simplistic explanation today, and you're here and you want to know Jesus Christ, everyone with their eyes closed, no one looking around, do you want to know Jesus today? Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I see you. Thank you. Yes. Amen. Anybody else? Let's just pause for a second online. I don't see you, but God does. If you want to know Jesus Christ, raise your hand. The hundreds of people that are watching us right now, raise your hand. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for salvation. For the many who have raised their hands today, Scripture tells us that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And then you start the journey of growing. And then those four things will be fulfilled. You won't have to look anywhere else because God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit fulfills all things. Direction, purpose, identity, morality, and destiny. How amazing it is. And it's just personal. He wants to be your friend as well as your Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the many in faith, the many online. If you're online and you're far away from us, find a church. If you're close to us, come and be with us. But know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and his ways are our ways, and he fulfills all those four. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord an applause. Praise God. Reminder tonight, no service, because we want you to spend time with friends and family. God bless you. We'll see you next week.